Be not solicitous. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. How could he, I mean God, how could he let so much go on in the world today? How could he, I mean, if there is a God, how could he sit back and watch so much evil happen in the world? How could he watch as so many helpless unborn are murdered in the womb of the very one who was created to protect the child? Or why would he watch as pagan peoples send Christians to their mass graves? Or why would he allow the church, which he himself had established for our salvation, to be infiltrated by Freemasons and then to be stolen away from us by modernists? And if he seems not to notice the pains of the human race in general, then how will he ever notice my pains? What's going on in my life? All of my worries and my hardships and the health problems that I am having or my loved one is having, and the temptations that I am faced with every day. Every time that something bad happens in this world of ours, these are the types of things that we hear without fail. We hear them from people who have no faith whatsoever, and even at times the strongest one among us here in this church today, in a moment of weakness, might be tempted to ask God the same questions. How? Why are you doing this to us? But it is only a lack of faith that leads to this. If any man, since the creation of the world, could have rightfully asked these questions of God, I think it would be Holy Job, whom the church so often brings to our attention in the different liturgical cycles. He was a rich man. He had much livestock, a beautiful wife, beautiful and well-behaved children, and servants to tend to all of his fields. He was a rich man, even in the eyes of the world. And in a single day, he lost it all, so that there was nothing left. One day as he was outside, a servant came up and said, "Master, some thieves have come, and they took away all of your oxen and your donkeys, and they killed all the servants. I myself am the only one who escaped to tell thee." No sooner did he finish saying that sentence than a second servant came up. "Master, lightning has come and destroyed your camels," or whatever it was. And as soon as he had finished saying what he had to say, a third man came in and said, "The camels have been destroyed, and the servants with them. I alone survived to come and tell you." And finally, a fourth man came and said that all of his sons and daughters had just been killed in a house. He lost it all in one fell swoop, in one day. And yet Scripture says of him that he spoke no foolish thing against God. And shortly thereafter, Scripture tells us that he received an ulcer that went from the sole of his foot even to the top of his head. It was a painful ulcer. And yet what do we hear from the lips of Job? Does he question God or complain? Does he blaspheme him? No, he says, "If we have received good things at the hand of God, Why should we not receive the evil? His friends, afterwards, became a burden to him. His wife did not understand him either. She told him, just bless God and die. He had lost everything and had no one to support him. Yet not once did he curse God, because he had a deep faith in the fatherly providence of Almighty God. His final word to the Lord was, I know that thou canst do all things, and no thought is hid from thee. Many people forget that the story of Job actually had quite a happy ending. God rewarded him for his patience and for his trust in divine providence, and had given to Job twice what he had had before all of these misfortunes. Through it all, Job saw that it was God's hand guiding all things, and all things to a purpose. Saint Therese, the child Jesus, would say to all anxious souls centuries later, confidence, it's the hand of Jesus that guides all things. I think this is really the secret to finding peace in our day, such tumultuous times, and they produce so much anxiety, especially in the timid souls. I think the secret is this: coming back down to reality, not the reality of Fox News or the fake news, whatever you prefer to listen to, I don't know, but the reality of the faith that God has given to us, that God's providential hand guides it all, good and bad, with great wisdom, and yes, he guides it all through love for you. What is providence, divine providence? Well, simply put by the Catechism, it is God's preservation and government of the world. God made everything, as theologians say, ex nihilo. That means out of nothing. He had nothing to work with when he created the universe. Yet he created it, and he keeps them in existence. And we are so dependent upon him that were he to forget about us for an instant, we would not become a pile of ashes. We would be annihilated. He created the angelic world so beautifully and so orderly that each angel is not just a different person. They're a different species, one from the other. Michael is a different species from Gabriel, and Gabriel from Raphael. He created so many angels that each man, each person, receives a guardian angel at his birth, an angel that never belonged to anyone else and never will belong to anyone else after your death. And then each home, each family, each building, each town, each country has its own angel. Each star has its own angel. What an immense world that God has created when he created the angelic world. But then you look at the animal kingdom. Think of, well, the birds of the air mentioned in today's gospel, that not one of them falls to the ground without the knowledge and the permission of Almighty God. We think of the ants, how many there are that you will never notice, that you will simply crush beneath your feet and never even see it. Yet God knows what each one is doing. He takes care of each individual blade of grass as if it were the only one. and he could tell you by memory what each piece of sand looks like. They say that the Milky Way galaxy has between, the scientists are debating on this, but they say anyway that the Milky Way has between 100 billion and 400 billion stars in that single galaxy. That's only one of many galaxies. Some say there are billions of other galaxies out there that they have seen with just as many stars. And that's only what they can see through their present-day telescope. And the universe just goes on and on and on. But do you know what Scripture says about the stars? That he calls each of them by name. All of those stars, God knows perfectly. And his order of the universe is so perfect that he is able to coordinate all of those billions and trillions of stars in such a way that one does not ever collide into another. And while he is doing all of that in outer space, taking care of the galaxies and the stars and the rising of the sun and the setting of the moon, it does not in any way distract him from taking care of that little tiny ant that is somewhere in the outback of Australia that nobody will ever know about. And it does not distract him from taking care of your soul here and now. Your problems and mine, in the big scheme of things, they're very little. There are people out there who have much worse problems than you do, and some of them, some are on the very brink of falling into hell at this instant, and you think you've got problems. But God knows everyone's problem. Your soul is so precious to him, as it says in today's gospel, are not you of much more value than they, meaning they, the animal kingdom and such? Well, of course you are. You are bought and paid for by the blood of the God-man. You are much more than they. God has brought you into existence, and he watches over all that you do and sees that you have all that you need. One author puts it this way: all God's works are perfect, performed with weight and measure. They are so good that they could not possibly be better. We are the work of a good master who, with infinite foresight, is at all times occupied with us. Nothing can befall us contrary to his will. Nothing can hurt us without his permission. He sends us nothing that is too hard or too painful for us to bear, for he takes into consideration all of our natural character, the talents, the weaknesses of each individual. And he assigns to each person the place in which he can best work out his salvation. And if he, for our good, is compelled to visit us with sickness or the cross, we must always remember that he is acting like a physician who must cure his patient by using a knife, but how gentle he is in making that incision. God tries us only that we might attain perfection. All things would contribute to our perfection if we correspond to the intentions of divine providence. For when tribulation comes to us and the cross comes, remember this, that God has measured it. God has set limits to how far it can go, to how far it can hurt you. just as he set bounds to the earth and to the sea and tells them, you can go no farther. So he says to each cross that he sends your way, you can do no more than this. There was once a very holy Dominican, not a saint, I don't think, but a blessed. She was beatified. She was in the Dominican order. She once had a vision of the happiness of the blessed in heaven. They were all ranked according to their merits among the nine choirs of angels. For remember, your throne in heaven was once occupied or was left empty by a bad angel. You are to fill it up. So once she saw all of the blessed ranked according to their merits among the nine choirs of angels, and in the choir of the seraphim, she said that she noticed people that she knew on earth, and she asked them, how did they make it to such heights of glory? And the simple answer that came back was, by conformity and perfect union of the will to the will of God. In other words, simply to accept divine providence. Providence is something like a jigsaw puzzle, I think. The events that take place in this life. When you open the box, what do you see? Just a whole bunch of oddly shaped cardboard, with a picture on one side, and you're meant to figure it out and put it together, figure out what the whole picture is. Well, each event that happens in our life, good or bad or indifferent, is one piece to the great puzzle of life. But at the end of life, on Judgment Day, you'll get to see the whole big puzzle put together. How each one of those pieces fit in so perfectly that it could fit no other in no other place at no other time than when it was put there. And that is how you were led to save your soul. How beautiful it is to meditate on the providence of the good God, and to remember that even though God has so much to take care of, he takes care of you. Remember, when the next time you start to worry about something, and you've all got something on your mind right now or later today, next time you're tempted to worry or to become upset with God, remember, the God whom you worship is the God who is so powerful that he created everything out of nothing, that he can take a simple piece of bread and change it into the body and blood of his Son, that knows every intimate detail of the universe, that he can call the stars by name. He knows your problems, and he knows just the solution. But in the meantime, hang in there. Seek first, the gospel tells us today, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, you pay attention to serving God and let God pay attention to taking care of you. That's how it works. Seek him and he takes care of you. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen.